Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, where we homeschool our kids and participate in hospitality. Hospitality is a big vision for our family. It has been for quite a few years. And, you know, 8 years ago, we picked up this rather larger house that had a fair number of extra bedrooms, more accommodation for those that want to hang out with us, and for the Discipleship Center downstairs, and for the hundreds upon hundreds of people that float through the area and need a place to stay. And it was a number of years ago that we suggested something of a hospitality network in which Christians could find a place to stay overnight with other Christian families around the United States and around the world. And I mentioned this, you know, the hotel, the city of anonymity produces the anonymous hotel in which you may have anonymous relationships, in which you have very little contact with Christian fellowship. And it seemed to me that the hotel was not always the way that Christians did things throughout history. We think about the woman that stayed with Elisha. They had a special house for him when he came through. We think about the Apostle Paul and how he was provided for by others and so forth. Throughout history, there's been so many times in which Christians extended that phileozenia to the stranger. And we're commanded to do that in Hebrews chapter 13. So I suggested that there be something of a hospitality network. And there was a family that was tuning into the radio program at that time. And they had just started up a candleinthewindow.com. It was a Christian hospitality network, exactly what I had suggested on the air. And we got behind that. We encouraged people to sign up for it. And I just revisited the hospitality network called acandleinthewindow.com, and they've got 2,276 places you can stay in various nations around the world. If you wind up in Australia, man, you can stay at 15 different Christian homes throughout Australia. And if you wind up in Uganda, there are 12 places to stay in Uganda, Africa. And we were just in Uganda a few weeks ago. If you happen to be in Russia, all right, 6 places in Russia. And if you happen to be in Edgeville, South Carolina, there's a place for you to stay.
There is.
Matt Clark is in studio with me right now. He is a pastor of a church out in the Augusta, Georgia / Edgefield, South Carolina area.
It's true.
And Matt is staying with us. So, Matt, you're a specimen on this program as we talk about hospitality.
Kevin,
you and your 3 sons are in my basement, even as we speak.
We are experiencing the joys of Swanson hospitality. We sure are.
And your 2 sons are swimming in our swimming pool, even as we speak.
They love that kind of hospitality. They love it.
So, you know, here we are, and there are opportunities for Christian fellowship everywhere today. Now, you've got to visit acandleinthewindow.com if you want to find out how that works, but there's some requirement that you put some connection to a local church on your application form, but for a very moderate annual fee, you can get involved in this approach to travel and to hospitality in which you might want to stay in other people's homes around the country on vacation or on business. And what a great opportunity to get to know other Christians around the world. There's just something about establishing relationships with other Christian brothers and sisters from around the world that creates such a neat opportunity for growth, for spiritual growth, for the sharing of gifts, for the development of the international connection, the international church as well. Mm-hmm. And we have experienced this over a number of years. In fact, I think including the guys that stay in our basement on a regular basis, we probably are serving between 4,000 and 5,000 meals a year.
Wow.
Out of the kitchen upstairs. So it's
wow.
A fairly active hospitality system working out of a Swanson household out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. But what I really want to do right now, Matt,
let's do it.
I want to bring on Kelly Flynn, who is on the phone line with me from Las Vegas, Nevada, because just last week we were enjoying hospitality offered by the Flynn family out in Las Vegas, Nevada.
The Meadows.
The Meadows, right. That's what it's, I guess, called in Spanish.
Yes.
So there we were in Las Vegas, and some refer to it as Sin City, but we were actually enjoying some of the best of Christian fellowship in Las Vegas, Nevada, into the midnight hour. I think we stayed up till midnight or 1 a.m. just fellowshipping and eating sushi together in the kitchen of Kelly Flynn. So Kelly is now joining us on the Generations broadcast. Kelly, it's good to have you with us today.
Well, happy to be here, and happy to know that that you enjoyed, as you put it, the second meal of the night. So we had dinner,
yeah.
We were walking to the house, and Kevin said, let's go out to the kitchen to see what we can have for our second dinner.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this is good to know, because you're a man after my heart right there. And so we did. And I'm glad you enjoyed it.
We did. We pulled out the sushi and the Breyers ice cream. I think four or five flavors.
Was there wasabi?
Wasabi? No. This was your black cherry, Rocky Road.
No, I don't mean wasabi ice cream.
Oh, there was wasabi with the sushi. Yes.
Okay,
we don't put the wasabi in the ice cream.
Okay, good. That could mess up hospitality.
Yeah.
That was so fun. We had a great time, Kelly.
I was not going to throw you under the dessert bus and tell everyone the actual amount of ice cream that you consumed. So I'll just keep it at that. You enjoyed it. That's all.
No,
I
Kelly,
say.
You need to tell us. Go ahead. We want to hear this.
Was it the third or the fourth bowl at which you said, that's enough, Kevin?
Some people like one flavor. We found out that Kevin enjoys actually sort of a buffet of ice cream. If he can dip
buffet.
A little here and dip a little there, it's just that much better. And, you know, it's amazing what that man can consume given enough time.
We had a great time. You know, I think people are wondering, okay, you live in Las Vegas, Kelly. Is there a Christian? Is there a Christian family that lives in Las Vegas? I mean, is there any Christian life in Las Vegas where you can go to Las Vegas and you don't have to go to the casino, but you can go to a Christian home and enjoy Christian fellowship in Las Vegas, Nevada?
Well, I will tell you, we were the first candle in the window in the state of Nevada, but it has begun to grow, and certainly there are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Christians in this city. Our reputation, of course, precedes us. And it is the one thing, I will tell you, the most common thing we hear from Candle in the Window visitors, they're often very hesitant to come here. They're often hesitant to bring their children here, afraid of what they're going to see. And we have just dozens upon dozens of wonderful notes people have left in our sign-in book saying just the opposite of how glad they did come, because they saw a different side to the city and were able to experience genuine fellowship and hospitality. So for that, now that I know I can go to Uganda and Australia, everyone listening knows they can come to Las Vegas. And I'll make sure it's a safe and enjoyable trip. How's that?
I so enjoy staying with the Flynns. And I would invite every single family listening to this radio program to drop in on the Kelly Flynn family in Las Vegas, Nevada, if you happen to be traveling across the United States, because it was a beautiful experience. Now, let me say this, that the Flynn family is probably going to be in competition for the sweetest family in the world. Now, if they haven't got the first place, they've got probably the third, fourth, fifth place, but they're in the top 10 at least for the sweetest family in the United States. A family that has a number of adopted children, and many of whom are special needs, but they're all affectionate, they're all beautiful, and the family loves the Lord, and they love each other, and it's just amazing to be there. Talk to us just for a second about your family, Kelly.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Those are beautiful and kind words, and I appreciate it, but all glory to God. He has created, as you said, what is a beautiful family. We made two kids the old-fashioned way, and we have adopted 9 others, and actually 10. We lost a precious son when he was 2 years old, a baby that was born without legs and without an arm, and was just an amazing child, and my wife is fond of saying he's dancing at the feet of Jesus right now, and we know that. But our adoption journey has been pretty amazing, and our age range now is from 4 to 28. My oldest son is 28, and our youngest right now is 4. And we do have a couple of several special needs kids, but, you know, they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the blessing, I think you'll find this with virtually every family you ever meet that has special needs kids. They will tell you that they are the ones that are blessed by living a life with these children. You'll hear it over and over and over again. And people from the outside often don't get that. And they'll say things like, oh, you know, well, God bless you for what you do. And I, you know, we turn right around and say, no, so God has blessed us by giving us these children. And I encourage everyone, never let that ever keep you from enjoying hospitality with a family that have kids that are maybe different, because I assure you it will be a wonderful experience for you and your family.
Amen, amen. Kelly Flynn and the family has been involved in the Christian Hospitality Network called acandleinthewindow.com. And friends, I encourage you to be a part of that, acandleinthewindow.com. And Kelly, I know that your situation, you have this like huge piece of property where you've got various places where people stay and very, very comfortable, air conditioned and all the rest, which is essential in Las Vegas in the middle of summer. I mean, you're talking 115 degrees Fahrenheit. And they provided a car for us. It was amazing.
A car.
Amazing. We had a car we could drive around. I went out and got my latte.
Latte.
Yeah, I went out and got a latte in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the house where we stayed was just, I mean, it's sort of, you know, an alleyway between the main house where the Flynn stayed and then where we stayed. So, you know, probably 1,200 square feet of kitchen, dining, living, and bedroom. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful place to stay. And now, here's my question, Kelly. You've got a wonderful place for people to stay and a degree of privacy for them. But at the same time, does that family get an opportunity to fellowship with your family?
Oh, very much. I think one of the central tenets, if you will, of A Candle in the Window is that you share a meal together. And again, that should not be something that intimidates people. We have a variety of meals that we like to do for Candle families, but one thing we do, we always reach out to them as we're communicating via email or phone and ask about food allergies, ask about food preferences. I mean, when you've got, let's say, 4 little kids and you've been on the road going across the country, they can be grumpy on occasion. They can be tired of road food. I'd much rather feed a 4-year-old what he really loves than put him in a position of eating some food that he doesn't care for. And again, I think that's all part of hospitality, is meeting the needs of your guests. So we always welcome them when they get here, and we kind of have a lot of fun introducing our family, because for most people that's pretty intense to walk in, and there's 13 of us. So we give them usually a Christmas card, and we write everybody's name on it, and we'll joke with them that there'll be a test before they leave, if they can name everybody, and let them get settled, and then when they're ready, and there's times people just want to lay down or take a nap. It is that almost that biblical picture of at the end of a long journey, having a place of just one of our guests wrote in the book that this was a haven of rest. And I thought we took that as a beautiful compliment. And in fact, that was a missionary. The husband and the child of this couple spent a lot of time with us. But the wife spent 2 days just in prayer and in rest in the guest house. And and it was beautiful. And so those are the kinds of experiences. There's always the interaction with the meal. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, our kids are grateful and happy to be playing with new kids. It's always fun to meet new friends. And they have made a number of long-distance, long-term relationships out of candle visits.
We've had so many good opportunities to meet folks through hospitality and through a candle in the window. I can remember a couple of years ago, a candle in the window family, a missionary family from Rwanda came by our house. It was a Sunday night. I think we had 30 or 40 people, you know, milling around the house. And so I sat down with the missionary and, you know, he's eating some dinner and I was just visiting a little bit with him. And he turned to me and said, so this is Elizabeth, Colorado. Does Kevin Swanson live around here anywhere? I said, yeah, actually does. I'm Kevin Swanson. It's one of those surreal moments where I wasn't sure I was Kevin Swanson for just a moment. we've had some funny experiences. One Monday morning, I got out of bed, and I was in my PJs just walking down the hall. And I'm looking into the kitchen. There's these strangers in the kitchen. I'm like, who are these people in my kitchen? Then I remembered, oh yeah, we had them over last night. I had forgotten that they were staying downstairs. Has that ever happened to you, Kelly, where you kind of forgot who was staying on the property?
And you just described it perfectly, especially when there's a lot of folks who come and go, sometimes the nights do bleed into the mornings, and all of a sudden, I had the same experience. I walked out, and there was this man on my couch, and he was just reading the Bible, and I thought, this is my angel's unaware moment. You know, here's this guy, and what am I about to hear from him? And it took me a minute to remember, oh, yeah, you're sleeping in the guest house. So I get it.
Oh man, we've had some amazing experiences throughout our opportunities for hospitality. How much has the hospitality experience helped your family? Do you think it helps the kids?
I think it was at first intimidating, the very thought of, you know, pure strangers, and this kind of goes to our culture today. There's a natural protectiveness of my family and my children just letting, quote, strangers in your house. And what has been beautiful about it is that, yes, we've met all kinds of people from all different parts of the world and the country and different walks of life, but knowing that we all share our Lord and Savior, it is amazing how quickly it just instantly binds and bonds you. You know, and we've met all kinds of folks with different denominations and different things, but there's never been conflict over any of that. It has been purely what the Bible gives an example of, and it can happen today. You know, you have this experience with these people, and as I mentioned a moment ago, we keep in touch with quite a few of them. And we have many repeat visitors. And then that just feeds on itself, because now you're welcoming old friends into your home. And so it's been beautiful for our family. It's been awesome for our children as they learn to practice hospitality. You know, in their particular world, if it's my 4-year-old Sophie, she gets the opportunity to share a doll with another little 4-year-old girl. It's a great example, and they get it. So, yes, a huge blessing for the family.
Would you recommend this for just about any family out there, Kelly, who's interested in just opening up their home? And do they have to have a guest house, or are there other arrangements?
I'm so glad you said that, Kevin, because, you know, the Lord has blessed you and me as well with pretty large homes, but I know that you and proclaim that this is God's house, and we try to use it for His service. Now, Can you do candle in the window when you're in a one-bedroom apartment? Yes, you can. We have dear friends here in Las Vegas who live very modestly. They have a little one-bedroom apartment, and they are on the network. And they openly say, hey, we don't have much. We've got a couch. We've got a place for a sleeping bag, but we would welcome you. And
you gotta love those kind of people. You gotta love those kind of
people. That's awesome.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Go ahead.
No, I think anybody who, all your bedrooms are taken, you want to practice hospitality, teach your kids how they are going to go sleep on the floor while they give their beds up to fellow Christians that are traveling through and need a place of comfort and rest. It's a cool thing to teach your kids. And again, you and I are both blessed with having some extra room that we can utilize for this, but the vast, vast majority of candle families bring people into their home and make the accommodations out of what they already have, existing bedrooms and that sort of thing. And so, yes, I strongly recommend it for everybody. It is in so many facets a blessing to your family and to those that are visiting.
You can meet some of the most unusual people, too. I'm going to ask you, maybe a story about an unusual person or situation. I can remember one time my pastor friend of mine called us and said there was a pastor from Zambia who was down at the Colorado Springs Airport, and he said he has no place to go. It was like 10 o'clock at night. I was in my PJs, and I said, okay. Pulled on my pants, headed on down to the Colorado Springs Airport. Sure enough, there's an African just kind of wandering around the airport. So, grabbed him and brought him down to our house, and he stayed with us for 2 weeks. We took him sledding in the snow. Yeah, he'd never seen snow in his life. Yeah, it was a great opportunity for our family. And then this happened, I'm thinking, 6 months ago. My wife was at the Denver International Airport getting ready to, she's waiting to be picked up. She had just come back from Las Vegas, I think it was, visiting some of our relatives down there. And there's a blind man who is sitting right next to her, this African-American gentleman from St. Louis, Missouri. And the one of the airline personnel came up to him and said, I'm sorry, sir, but your flight's been canceled. You're going to have to stay here till tomorrow morning. And my wife was like, this poor blind man has to stay seated on this chair until, for the next 18 hours. She said, that's not going to work. So she turned to the guy and she said, I know you don't know me, but you can come to our house and stay the night with us.
Praise the Lord.
she said, I really think the Lord is telling me it's time to invite this man over to our house. So she called me on her cell phone and said, honey, there's a blind man here and he needs a place to stay tonight. Can I bring him home? And I said,
wow,
absolutely. This is unusual. This is,
wow.
And my kids had the best time with this blind man. And they got to know him. It was wonderful. We brought him to prayer meeting with us that night. We led him all around the house. We fed him dinner. He ate with his hands, and stuff. And he was just laughing. He was just saying, and you kept saying, you don't need to come to our house, but I wanted to come. Because my wife was like giving him an out, She was giving out because you think, how is he going to trust us?
Right.
But he was trusting from the outset, and he just fit right in with the family. And
wow.
He was right there with us. And then the next day, my wife and I were flying out, so we took him to the airport ourselves and led him to his gate, bought him a McDonald's breakfast, and sent him off with $20 for lunch.
Angels unaware.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was one of the best opportunities we've ever had.
What a blessing.
Okay, you tell me your story, Kelly.
Well, I have a few, but I think one, and it again touches on the culture today. My wife's name is Jennifer and my name is Kelly. Well, nowadays, Kelly can often be a girl's name. and a man's name. And we had a family, this precious family, that really their travels had to bring them through Las Vegas. So they didn't have another way to go. And we were really the only candle that looked like we could accommodate them. And they saw my name Kelly and they saw Jennifer, and they were actually terrified that we might be a same-sex couple, but they didn't know how to ask, and they didn't want to do this, and they went through spiritual upheaval about, well, should we go there? Should we witness to these people? What do we say to them? And they spent 2 days of their trip preparing how they were going to witness to this ungodly couple who believes they're godly because they're part of the candle in the... And when they showed up at our front door, if you could have seen the weight drop off of their faces, and they both hugged us and says, we have to apologize. We have to confess to you something. And they told us this. And we all laughed so hard. And to this day, if you're a member of Candle in the Window, when you go to our family profile, it says, Kelly, and then in parentheses, I'm the husband. It was a boy's name first. And then Jennifer. So we never wanted anyone else to have to go through that. But in a way, it was very sweet because these people didn't, you know, they felt, well, this is an opportunity for us to witness to these people in Las Vegas. So that's one of my stories. I have others.
Yeah, because I don't think anybody can imagine that there could be Christians living in Las Vegas. but there are.
That is by far the most common thing we get, and it is probably the greatest misconception that gets dispelled. We have a fellowship group that meets at our house, and many, many nights it's been fellowship night, and so here comes these weary travelers, and they're 5 kids, and they walk in, and there's 60 people praising the Lord, and we're eating this wonderful meal, and we're praying together, and it was the last thing they would have ever imagined they would have experienced in Las Vegas. And so we do welcome you. If you're listening and want to come, please join us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think my funniest story in hospitality was one Saturday afternoon about 5 o'clock, I was out back splitting wood, and I got a phone call on my cell phone. Grabbed the cell phone. The guy said, hey, yeah, we're about 30 minutes out, and we'll see you guys in just a little bit. Really looking forward to the hospitality. I said, that sounds good. And I had no idea who they were. I went into the house. Honey, is somebody coming over in 30 minutes? We've got to make the beds. I don't know who they are. She's like, let's see, who would that be? We had no idea. Thankfully, we had the 30-minute warning. I guess the heads up on that is be sure you have a calendar somewhere nearby and fill that out if someone's coming over.
Wow.
But we had a great time. Whoever it was, we had a great time.
Indeed, you know, that is something. We have the candle calendar, and because you need to make sure that you are prepared. And I do really quickly want to throw out one verse, because this is something that if someone is listening and is like, man, this is not for me. I don't want strangers in my house, and any number of excuses. That, you know, 1 Peter 4, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. And then listen, offer hospitality to one another at the end of the verse without grumbling. Mm. And I got to tell you, there have been times when we've got a candle visitor, and then we've got another one coming the day they leave, and we've got another one coming the day after. Mm. And there have been times where my selfish heart, I'm like, oh. Because, listen, folks, it takes some effort. Because sometimes people are shy. They've never done this before, and now you've got, in my case, a big family and all these different elements to deal with. And there's a little bit of work involved, but, you know, it's something the Lord calls us to do. And I look at that verse and I'm reminded, without grumbling. And this is not a suggestion in Scripture. It tells us over and over to practice hospitality. And so those that are considering this, I really would encourage you to go to acandleinthewindow.com and read about it. And you'll read some of the very smart things that they've instituted, and many of your questions that you may have are answered there. But I always remember that, without grumbling, is a convicting verse for me.
And Kelly, I think a lot of people forget that Jesus gave us his way of life. He lived his life here, and then he handed off his way of life for us when he said, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. In the end, it's a better life. We don't think so, but in the end, following Jesus is a better way to go, and you will find great joy in suffering and service as we follow Jesus and get to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection. It is a better life. You know, you just got to believe that Jesus has a better way for us, and it's not the way of the world, which is all about me and all about fulfilling the desires of my flesh and my lusts, but rather the lifestyle of denying ourselves and taking up the cross daily and following Jesus is the better way to go. And we have learned that month in and month out, year in and year out, as we have learned to serve. So, friends, we have been talking to Matt Clark, who happens to be enjoying our hospitality from
great time.
South Carolina today in studio. And indeed, they participate in a candleinthewindow.com as well as a church out there in South Carolina. And Kelly Flynn from Las Vegas, Nevada, over on the other side of the country, who has been part of acandleinthewindow.com for 4 years, and they have had the blessing of bringing in hundreds, if not thousands, from around the country to their home there in Las Vegas. So what a tremendous vision for the Christian family. Wow, the Lord can do amazing things for our families as we sign up for hospitality and the kind of life that he wants us to live. Kelly, thanks. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you. God bless you, Matt, and church, and travel safely home.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
And friends, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. Again, we recommend acandleinthewindow.com. This program is not sponsored by acandleinthewindow.com. We just voluntarily go back to it again and again because we think it's a brilliant idea.
Great.
And we just want to present this to the tens of thousands of people that tune into the radio program. Get involved, sign up yourself, and check out acandleinthewindow.com Hospitality Network today. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation. The month of July is fundraising month for us, and we do not ask for support very much on this radio program. However, we do need 100 courageous, faith-filled families willing to give us $10 a month or $50 a month or $100 a month to keep this program on the air. We do reach families in over 100 countries around the world and 50 states, and of the tens of thousands that benefit from the program, we need at least 100 with a vision and a desire and a burden to help us carry the burden for this ministry. Now, folks, you need to know that we have only about 9 people that pull together to work on Generations in the Worldview program, but the whole thing functions on less than $100,000 per year, which means that nobody gets paid full time. Nobody's getting rich. Everybody gets a small stipend, including myself. We are not the multi-million dollar ministry with a staff of 300 plus full-time employees. That's just not us. But we do have somewhat of an impact by God's grace in the lives of tens of thousands of people around the world. So we just encourage you to support us if you can. We provide teaching on worldview, culture, politics, education, movies, family life, and so forth. So y'all understand that this program is geared towards the keeping the faith and passing on the faith from one generation to the next during the significant apostasy in the history of this Western world. And we do want to bring forth a strong biblical worldview, a God-centeredness about the Word of God, about God's law as applied to every area of life. We want to be sure that the gospel is the basis for everything that we do. And the implications of that gospel is life transforming. And we don't want any aspect of life to be set apart from the rule of Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the vision for this radio program. And we encourage you to join us in the battle, my friends. Yes, we do receive criticism and persecution on a regular basis, but we want to continue to battle for the faith, keeping the faith of Jesus and the commandments of God in this postmodern age. That's what we're doing as part of the Generations Radio program. So we encourage you to support us by simply going to generations.org and click on Give today. That's generations.org. Click on Give and sign up for $10 a month, $50 a month, or $100 a month to support this radio program for one more year. And we do appreciate all of your support, your prayers, and every aspect, every encouraging word that you send down to us at host@kevinswanson.com. We do appreciate all of your support, all of your encouragement, all your prayers at generations.org.